few moments ago. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. As we're thinking today, a gospel response to the machinations and movements seeking to destroy Western civilization, Islam. Follow along as I read. If you don't have your Bible, we've got the text on the screen for you. Children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. What have we read together? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. May the Lord help us to appreciate increasingly truth and recognize more obviously lies as it pertains to our God and His Son and His will for us. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. I know you stood a long time. Well, International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. 50 countries. What we do, we start, we'll pick up again in a couple of weeks and we'll hit number 50. And then we'll start going all the way to number 1 again. You might be interested to know, as we get ready to study about Islam, that of those 50 countries, 37 are Muslim-dominated countries. 74% of the top 50 embrace Islam. And because they embrace Islam, Christianity is illegal. Well, North Korea is number 1. We know that. India is number 10. You may have forgotten that. But numbers 2 through 9 in between that, in the top 10, 8 of the top 10, are Muslim countries. It is critical that we study and understand Islam. You may be thinking, well, but Pastor, that's way over there. Well, Colleen Hufford wishes it was way over there. September the 25th, 2014, she was working in the Vons plant in Oklahoma City. She'd been sharing the gospel with fellow workers. And on that day, Alton Alexander Nolan, a follower of Islam, decapitated her, cut her head off in the workplace. She was 54 years old. He cried, "Allahu Akbar," as he did it. God is great. On his Facebook page, he took the name Yakim Yisrael and posted just before the murder occurred, "I am not your friend. All my friends are at the mosque all around the world." 2014. If you've been keeping up with the news recently, you'll know that in Paris, France, October 16th, just a couple of weeks ago, a knife-wielding man decapitated a middle school teacher, because he had discovered that that middle school teacher had shown some cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad that were disrespectful. France is in a world of hurt. Just a few days ago, October 29th, another Muslim terrorist went into the Church of Notre Dame in Nice, France, and attacked worship goers there with a knife, decapitating one, stabbing others. Why are you telling us this, preacher? This is gruesome. I'm telling you this because if you listen to mainstream media, if you listen to the politicians on both sides of the aisle, you'd be led to believe that Islam means peace. Islam, in fact, you heard it referred to as the religion of peace. Islam means submission. That's the meaning of the word. Muslims believe that Islam is the original religion since the creation of Adam, that he was the first prophet. And since the beginning of time, all people who submit to Allah, and that's the Arabic term for God. I tell you that because if we were in Arabia, if we were in an area where they speak Arabic and you were learning Arabic as a missionary, you would use that word, Allah, to speak of God, the true and living God. All people who submit to Allah, according to their terms, are called Muslims. Allah has appointed thousands of prophets to warn and guide mankind. Prominent among the prophets of Islam, Ibrahim, you would know him as Abraham. Musa, you'd know him as Moses. Dawood, you'd know him as David. Isa al-Masih, you would know him as Jesus, the Messiah. The word Muslim itself is derived from an Arabic term, the same word root for peace. And I put something up on the screen for you to see the word ordering, that the word salam for peace can fit into that word order. Islam and Muslim all fit into that SLM word order. It is believed that Muhammad is the final prophet. In about 610 A.D. in Arabia, Allah sent the last prophet, Muhammad. Now, a billboard was posted, I think, in the Philadelphia area, different places around the country, because you see, Islam calls Muhammad the perfect man. The perfect man. This billboard said this: the perfect man married a 6-year-old, was a slave owner and slave dealer, a rapist, beheaded 600 Jews in one day, had 13 wives, 11 wives at the same time, and tortured and killed unbelievers. God gave the perfect man the Quran. And within the Quran are 116 verses that call for violence to be shown toward infidels. That's you and me. Islam can be broken up into two factions, Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims. Sunni Muslims make up about 90% of the Muslim population around the world. Shia, 10%. Sunnis are the ones who perpetrate a lot of the terrorist acts. Sunnis perpetrate terrorist acts on Shias. You may read from time to time where Shias are gathered in their mosques on Fridays, and their mosque is blown apart. That's by Sunni Muslims when that happens. Islam recognizes Allah not in a tender way like you and I do when we think of God as Father. In fact, the idea of God as Father offends them. If we talk about God our Father, they think we're talking about a being who has had sex with women. That's what they associate Father with. Allah is a monad who is dispassionate in terms of their relationship with Him. They refer to Him as the merciful and the compassionate. But that's because of His austere characteristics. He lets people breathe and live. They reject the idea of a father or a son. In fact, they say that Jesus is just one of the prophets. That He's not the Son of God, what we just read in 1 John. That He was not crucified, did not die and come back to life. They see Christians as polytheistic, that is, worshiping several gods because of our doctrine of Trinity. They look at Trinity and think 1 + 1 + 1. When you share the gospel with a Muslim, you've got to come at it in terms of 1 × 1 × 1. For them, life is all about what they call the insha'Allah, the will of God. It is the will of God. In our Reformed theological position, I'll tell you this, that some of our Armenian friends and those who are not Reformed look at us and they don't make a distinction between us and Islam. But Islam is a very fatalistic approach to life. A Muslim bows his or her head. It is the will of Allah. Christians rejoice because we know that the Lord has plans for us, plans to do us good and not evil, plans to bless and not to curse. I want to touch today on the five pillars. We just sort of set the stage for next Sunday when we will plow into this and then look at our text. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I hope to show you, as we've shown you before, just as there's a connection, just as Marxism, cultural Marxism drives Antifa, just as cultural Marxism drives Black Lives Matter, cultural Marxism drives secular, political Islam. In my mind, it's very unfortunate that Islam is recognized as a world religion because it is a bloodthirsty worldview. It is a philosophy of world domination. It is submit or perish. Christians get a bad rap for the Crusades, and the Crusades were not a very pleasant time in the history of Christianity. But if you go read your history honestly, the Crusades were launched to fend off the bloodthirsty advance of Islam across Europe. They make followers by the sword. The five pillars of Islam, these ritual practices which make up their religious system. The first is confessing the faith, the shahada. You've heard it said, perhaps, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger, or Muhammad is His prophet. This is their confession. Our confession is there is one God who has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Lord and Savior of sinners. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. That's their confession of faith. And you must make this confession on a regular basis. One pillar is prayer, our salat, to be done 5 specific times a day. Memorized prayers in Arabic, by the way. In Islam, if you know someone who is converted, if they do not learn Arabic, if they're not reading the Quran from the Arabic, then they're not genuine. Everything is done in Arabic. Arabic is the only original language. They look at our Bible and say that our Bible is corrupted because it's gone through translations. But the Arabic Quran, you can read the Quran in English and say, well, I've read the Quran. And they reject it and say, no, you have not. The only way the Quran exists is in Arabic. And so the prayers are memorized and they are in Arabic. 5 times a day. For ritual cleansing, the washing of the feet, the washing of the hands, the washing of the head, the placing of the prayer mat on the ground, kneeling on the ground toward Mecca, and going through exactly what they're taught. The proper motions. Fasting is another pillar, a psalm. It's an annual community event for Muslims. You may recognize the season of Ramadan. Ramadan, they fast during the day and then break fast at night. So during the day, they would abstain from all food, water, sexual intimacy. And at sunset, when daily fast ends, then there's a special meal, the iftar. And another one just before sunrise. Giving of alms, zakat. The giving of alms is an obligatory giving of 2.5% of a Muslim's wealth distributed to the poor and also to educational institutions or to defend the Islamic faith. Then a pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj, is to be carried out at least once in a lifetime, provided that a Muslim can afford it. How you dress is set forth. The idea is men would wear white garments and shave their heads for this journey. To strengthen the Arabic Abrahamic identity by recalling the story of Hagar and Ishmael and the union of all Muslims by circulating around the ancient Arabic Abrahamic religious center. Notice, did you catch what I said? The Abrahamic lineage of Ishmael. The objective of the Muslim is to follow Muhammad's pattern, his exact words, motions, timing. Then some Muslims consider jihad central to the faith. Not one of the five pillars, but it would be, if I could give you an analogy, it would be like we say in the New Testament Christians that baptism and the Lord's Supper are the ordinances that the Lord left for us. And our Puritan forefathers recognized church discipline as another ordinance. Not formally, but functionally. In the same way, jihad, which means struggle. And the struggle can be internal, where they're wrestling with being more faithful as Muslims. But it can also be external, to defend Islam. Therefore, if some middle school teacher in France shows pictures, cartoons of the Prophet in a free expressions class, which is what that class was, and offers for the Muslim students to leave so that they will not be offended, and yet word gets back to parents of what happened and the word gets on the street, then some Muslim, in the name of protecting Islam, is justified in encountering that middle school teacher and cutting his head off in front of that middle school. Jihad. And this worldview has come to America, has been allowed in America. It's fascinating for me to read. Europe is lost, okay? Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, Macron, the latest French president, are lamenting how they threw their borders wide open and embraced immigrants. And they are under assault, under siege in Europe. And that's what some folks in our country want to see happen here. Our borders thrown wide open for people who have no interest, no desire to come and assimilate with the American way, recognize and appreciate our Judeo-Christian heritage, but to bring in something radically different. It's here. Americans are having their 1.6 children. If you read about population growth, you know that you cannot sustain a culture at that rate. Muslims coming into our country are coming in typically one man bringing four wives and a dozen or more children. 80 to 90% who come into our country immediately go on government assistance, outpopulating us. And again, I'm not your flag-waving American guy, but I recognize that what this is about is to bring down Christianity, because everywhere in the world that Islam exists, Christians suffer. This is one of the last strongholds, the last bastions of Christianity in the world. So the machinations are to remove Western civilization to get at Christianity. And when you look at what they believe and don't believe, it fits into the category we're going to see next week, God willing, where John says, "You've heard that the Antichrist is coming. I tell you, many Antichrists are in the world." You've got to think in terms of anti, not just being against, but that certainly is one of the meanings of Antichrist, but in the place of the real Messiah. Now we, and I'll close with this, we follow seven commands of Jesus. He's given more, but you can sum them up into this. Repent and believe. Love God and others. Pray. Be baptized. Celebrate the Lord's Supper. Give. Make disciples. That's the path we follow as Christians. And it puts us on a conflict course with Islam. We need to love Muslims, but recognize there's an incompatibility. And I realize saying what I'm about to say can get me beheaded in the streets. But the God described in Islam and the God depicted in Christianity are very different deities. So I pray that you will prayerfully consider what I've said today, that you'll prepare to hear next week, Lord willing, and that we'll see that this is another one of those planks that we're battling against on several fronts now to advance the gospel. By next week, God willing, we'll have a much better indication of what's in store for us in the near future. Let's pray together. Dear Holy Father, you're the God.